I know he came here to say, if you afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, let me see you get loose. Going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You don't like to say must win, Matt Wilhelm, but tonight at the Q, it's a must win game for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
It better be.
Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, on an energetic edition per Jason Gibbs of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Nice to see you're awake today.
Thank you, Gibbs. Does that make you feel good? Does that make you feel good to be a bully?
I'm just trying to help you out. Just trying to poke the bear a little bit. It was a long weekend. We didn't really have any days off. Making sure you're bringing the A game today.
Do you use your finger to press a button that allows you to talk?
I did.
Because I'd like to put that in a finger cuff.
What is a finger cuff?
From Google China.
Google it. Anyway, big game at the Q tonight here in Cleveland for the Cavaliers. LeBron James saying he will be much better this time around. We have got a lot to talk about as it relates to the Cavs. We'll talk about them. We'll also talk, of course, about the Cleveland Browns. It is Browns Daily after all. And today we have Dane Brugler, the senior NFL draft analyst for Draft Scout and CBSSports.com, our guy who loves the Browns draft, I would think, because the Browns took 8 guys in his top 100. So we will talk to him about that. It's also Mailbag Wednesday, so tweet any Browns questions you have using the hashtag mailbag. And also, we've got Brown's 7th round draft pick, Ifo Ekpre-Olomo. What is that? Is that your phone? Is that your phone, Matt?
Yes.
What are you doing over there?
Nothing. I'm pulling up info on Ifo.
No, you're pulling up sound. That's a demerit.
Way to pay attention to the show today.
That is a demerit.
I am.
Yesterday was a demerit. Today it's Will.
No, I was there. Listen, man, I had to rest up because it's Cinco de Mayo, and I needed to get ready for a big night. And I actually had a great time. Ended up at Barrio late night. There were a bunch of members of the Browns organization there.
Awesome. Where is Barrio?
Right downtown.
Thanks for the invite. Wilhelm, did you get an invite?
Nope.
All right. Right down there on Prospect.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Clearly, it wasn't that much fun.
It was a good time. It was a good time.
If Wilhelm and I weren't there.
I would have said it was a great time.
That's right.
You're saying I'm still elevating you two being there from good to great. Isn't that nice? You'll take that?
I'll take that today.
Okay.
He's just got friends in higher places than we have.
He does, man. He does. He makes the $8.05 an hour.
Yes. Jeez Louise. All right. Our Ohio Business Machine hot topics of the day. Number one, the draft is over. What is next for the Browns? What are the two positions on the team that still concern you headed into the season? I think that's a pretty easy one. ESPN.com's post-draft power ranks have the Browns dropping 5 spots to number 28, which is amazing because when you look at the winners of the draft at ESPN, the teams that were most improved coming out of the draft, and this is an article on ESPN.com written by, you guess it, their main draft guy, Todd McShay, or at least one of their two main draft guys. And you know who he says got the best out of the AFC North after the draft? The Cleveland Browns. And at ESPN, their power poll has the Browns dropping 5 spots after the draft. Both of those cannot be correct.
Is the power poll put together by one individual or a synopsis of multiple analysts and their input thrown in and averaged out and then put together?
That's a good word. I believe that it is an amalgamation of sources, yes.
Okay.
A cornucopia of opinion. Whereas
when you look at the 4 teams below us, it's almost embarrassing that we're 28.
I do think it's a little embarrassing. I think, and I'm curious, this is going to be a hot topic. Just come out and say it. I'm a Kool-Aid drinker. I think the Cleveland Browns football team right now that they will take into the 2015 season is significantly better than the team that they took into the 2014 season. And if you want to call up and challenge that, just give me a reason. They'll be like, no, they suck. Give me like a reason for why you think it. Because I think if you look at the starting lineups and the depth on both sides right now, again, you don't know what you have in these draft picks just yet. But if you look at them and project out, I feel that this is a much better overall football team and that if you take strides this year, and let's say Johnny Manziel does become that quarterback or he doesn't, you can go into next year's draft and I almost think you drop a number one receiver in, maybe that's Josh Gordon come back, you drop a quarterback in, and all of a sudden you have a team that can contend.
You definitely do. And, you know, when you look at the 27 teams ranked in front of us in the power poll, I'd say 10 of them, maybe even we'll go 15 of them, are absolutely better than the Cleveland Browns right now, okay? So then we'll say the remaining, what, 12? 12 teams, in some cases by Kiper, McShay, Mayock, giving their draft grades and or how much they went out in free agency and how active they were, you can't say they're that much better from one year to the next. And I think what the Cleveland Browns did via free agency and the 12 members of the 2015 NFL draft class got significantly better, you know, and closed a large gap, not only in the division, but the other teams that they're going to have to play on their schedule.
Gibbs, you always like to jump in and say negative things.
I don't know. I'll have to wait.
I got
to
see it. What do you think about where the Browns should be? If you, I'll throw out a number in my head. If you're going to say right now, where do I think the Browns should be in a power poll of this type? The number that first popped into my head was 18. That was the number that popped in my head. I think they are a solid middle-of-the-pack team right now. I don't think they're a top half of the league team yet, but I think that they are a solid middle half of the league team. You could put them in the same category. Like, the fact that the 49ers are 20th right now, when you actually look at what's happened to that team, seems ridiculous to me.
It does. And if I had to put a number for me personally, and I'm the as large of an optimist, I'm not quite the Kool-Aid drinker that you are, but I gauge what I say and what I think based on my personal perspective, I would have them somewhere between 21 and 24.
And NFL.com apparently has them at 30. Ridiculous.
Come on.
Gibbs, what do you think?
Gibbs. That's a very good take, you know.
Gibbs is really he's
number
bringing,
five, really, Gibbs?
He's
wow.
Bringing the A game today.
He is.
Jason Gibbs, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks. Amazing producer of this fine show.
He is the best. He is the best. I do think, though, yes, if you wanted to say in that range, you know, call it 16 to 24 in the third quartile of the league, I'm okay with that. But to say that they're one of the eight worst teams in the NFL right now, I think is wrong. I think this is a better team than it was a year ago, and I think they're taking strides.
And you know what they might be doing in ranking them this way, simply basing a lot of it on where we finished in the division? Because if you look at the eight divisions in football, and whoever was ranked last, in some cases, unless they made a significant stride, which you and I feel that the Cleveland Browns did, they're going to rank the eight worst teams in their division last year probably as the bottom 10, you know, and just shuffle them around and another team that didn't make any moves or lost a significant amount of talent and or key players. So I think it's outlandish, and in some cases because we are in the AFC North and all three teams made it to the playoffs, you can 100% with fact say it was the best division in football last year. The other point that I want to say is when we were 7-4, how high did we get in that poll? You know, and I think that's the teaser on what this team is capable of playing like. You don't lose Alex Mack. You sustain that run game. Your defense is not on the field as much as it has to be on the field. And then also, too, if Brian Hoyer just leveled and played the same way throughout the rest of the season, you win two more football games.
Yeah.
With better defense, a better run game, and more consistent play throughout the last six games of the football season at the quarterback, Brian Hoyer, Johnny Manziel, whoever, you win two more football games, you're 9-7.
Yeah.
And I simply, because you're 9-7 last year, you draft at what would have been probably 16, 17, 18, 19, then you enter this offseason in a much better place, and I know there is no way that those analysts that pick those rankings have us, you know, outside of the top 20 at 9-7.
No chance.
And we're three there. Simple factors, a couple of them having to do with the loss of Alex Mack away from being inside the top 20.
It's fine. Prove it. This is a team that, by the way, needs to prove it.
Absolutely.
Let's be honest.
It's been 15 years of it.
Yes, prove it. And I hope the Browns certainly do. It'll make me very excited again. It's Mailbag Wednesday. Tweet us with the hashtag Mailbag. Breaking news out of the NFL. The Ted Wells report is in about Deflategate. And he says it is, quote, more probable than not that the Patriots deliberately violated the rules. And we have concluded that it is, quote, more probable than not that Tom Brady was at least generally aware of the inappropriate activities. We do not believe there was any wrongdoing by Patriots ownership, Belichick, or any other coach in the matters investigated. It was more probably than not that the locker room attendant, equipment assistant, and Tom Brady were aware of the releasing of the air.
That is no surprise to me. And as many quarterbacks, and I think Mark Brunell chimed in on it, a few others that are analysts around, multiple stations nationally that cover the NFL, talked about their personal liking of a football. And also, too, in saying that, that immediately points to the fact Mark Brunell is not pumping up or deflating balls himself. That means he has to tell someone that is a team employee to do that to the football for him. So those conversations are being had. And in this case, Tom Brady likes a certain ball, you know, at a certain poundage or a certain grip feel for him. And so that conversation definitely happened to a ball boy. The ball boy is not going to let down Tom Brady. You know, Tommy Terrific, the kid's guy, as the best quarterback of all time. You're not going to say no to him, are you? You're going to take those balls and do whatever you have to do to get him to Tom Brady's liking, because it only means if Tom plays well, the Patriots do well. They did. They won a Super Bowl.
And they would have won the Super Bowl anyway. It's interesting. More probable than not, though, what is the burden? What's the burden there? What's the burden for punishment? More probable than not?
I mean.
Is that enough? Is that enough to?
I would say so.
So, and here's what Ted Wells says. During his interview, Brady denied any knowledge or involvement in any efforts to deflate game balls after the pregame inspection by the game officials. He claimed that prior to the events surrounding the AFC Championship game, he did not know McNally's name or anything about McNally's game day responsibilities, including whether McNally had any role relating to game balls or the game officials. We found these claims not plausible and contradicted by other evidence. In fact, during his interview, Jastrzemski acknowledged that Brady knew McNally and McNally's role as official locker room attendant. Similarly, McNally told NFL security that he had been personally told by Brady of Brady's inflation level preference. Now, does this where's the key? We got to get the kid to call in. We need the kid to call in and find out what his take is on this. Does this impact Brady's legacy? Does this impact his standing?
No.
What do you think about this? This is an interesting topic. Gibbs, are you there?
Sorry, guys. Full phones today. Phones lighting up.
People
I got
are excited.
Stan talking my ear off. I got all kinds of people talking.
It's because of our great producing.
Hey, man. I can only do what the people upstairs will let me do.
Well, anyway, this is an interesting one. Tom Brady, does this tarnish the way you look at Tom Brady?
No.
Okay, can you refresh it for me? I'm sorry. Like I said, I was...
Basically, he's been caught in his testimony. They're saying that it's more probable than not he knew something about it. Certain testimony that Brady gave was contradicted by other testimony and other witnesses.
Ruh-roh, Raggy.
Ruh-roh. Yeah,
okay, great. What are you going to do? You going to take away a Super Bowl ring?
Nope.
No. How many does he have now? 4? He's been to 6. He's going to the Hall of Fame. Oh, well.
And he'll probably win another one before he's done.
Yeah, or at least go to one.
Correct.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, hey, great. So happy that the NFL could get around to putting this out 5 months after the fact.
And see, suspending him hurts the team. And a fine to a guy that makes almost $15, $20 million a year of even $500,000 is the equivalent to fining you or I $5.
Yes. Yeah. All right. Listen to this. So they have this report is apparently 243 pages. I was alerted to the best part was exchanges between two of the ball boys, McNally and Jastrzemski, who were involved in this, and they end up being principal players. McNally's the locker room attendant who supposedly deflated the ball. For example, on October 17, 2014, following a Thursday night game between the Pats and the Jets, during which Tom Brady complained angrily about the inflation level of game balls, McNally and Jastrzemski exchanged the following text messages. McNally, Tom sucks. I'm going to make the next ball a beeping balloon. Jastrzemski, talked to him last night. He actually brought you up and said you must have a lot of stress trying to get them done. I told him it was. He was right, though. I checked some of the balls this morning. The refs beeped us. A few of them were almost at 16. They didn't recheck them after they put air in them. Beep, Tom, 16 is nothing. Wait till next Sunday. And Jastrzemski goes, oh, my God, spaz. McNally, make sure you blow the ball to like a rugby ball so Tom can get used to it before Sunday. OMG. Can't wait to give you the needle this week. Beep, Tom, make sure the pump is attached to the needle. Beep, watermelon's coming. So angry. The only thing deflating, son, is his passing rating. So they got these guys were not pleased with Tom Brady. It goes on and on. So here's January 7th. This is great. These are actually pretty funny. January 7th, 11 days before the AFC Championship games. McNally, remember to put a couple sweet pigskins ready for Tom to sign. You got it, kid. Big autograph day for you. Nice. Throw some kicks in and make it real special. You're lucky 11 and a half, kid. So they're talking about the inflation level. These guys are just messing around, talking trash, a bunch of text messages, talking trash about Tom. Oh, yes. Yes. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we had to go to the bat line to bring in the kid, the legacy of Tom Terrific under fire in the Wells report. What say you?
I say I haven't had a chance to review the documents yet.
It is more probable than not that Tom Brady knew what was happening, and some of the employees who were implicated in this had many messages saying, beep Tom, and implying that he was a jerk. But the Wells report is saying that it is more probable than not that Tom Brady knew about it and was a part of this happening.
I think all, you know, reading the comments of all quarterbacks, it seems like all quarterbacks, you know, mess with the balls to a certain degree. But,
they
you know, obviously you'd like to think he's trying to play within the confines of the rules. But, you know, they think it's that big of a difference if it's less errant. Wilhelm, what say you?
What say me is it is a competitive advantage, for sure.
Well, I'm disappointed. If he knew about it, it is a disappointment. I'm not going to lie.
And also, too, the fact that he's treating, like, you know, locker room attendees like you know what is not always cool from a Hall of Fame quarterback.
That I agree with it. That, to me, is maybe even a bigger problem because he has the image that he's not like that. And I'd like to think that he wouldn't do that.
But, he's a prima donna. It's expected.
You know who was beloved by locker room attendants?
Bernie.
Joe Montana, that's who.
Well, that doesn't bother me.
The best quarterback of all time now. He doesn't have any blemishes.
Stop,
he's not deflating
stop.
Footballs
let's
belittling locker room attendance. Let's go to the facts now.
Let's not jump to any conclusions here.
I have a jump to conclusion, Matt, from Office Space, and I'm jumping.
Well, I'm not willing to jump to any conclusions here.
Let me ask you a question. So you're saying nothing. You're saying that if it does come out, and here, let me read some more things to you. The kid, if I may.
You may.
So, and I'll just reread this again. You haven't heard this before. During his interview, Brady denied any knowledge of involvement in any efforts to deflate game balls after the pregame inspection. He claimed prior to the events surrounding the AFC Championship game, he did not know McNally's name or anything about McNally's game day responsibilities, including whether McNally had any role relating to game balls or the game officials. We found these claims not plausible and contradicted by other evidence. In fact, during his interview, this is my legal voice. Do you like it, Wilhelm? Do you like the way I do this? Thank you. In fact, during his interview, Jastrzemski acknowledged that Brady knew McNally and McNally's role as officials' locker room attendant. Similarly, McNally told NFL security they'd been personally told by Brady of Brady's inflation level preference. As discussed above, Brady's refusal to provide us with his own emails, text messages, and phone records on relevant topics in response to our narrowly tailored requests limited the evidence available for our review and analysis. We believe that our findings are nevertheless supported by the evidence and information available to us during the course of our work. So not only that, he withheld evidence from them.
Well, first of all, I don't think that says that he's telling them, you know, just because he likes the ball lighter. I mean, there's a range that the balls could be between. If they know that he likes it lighter, it's not like he's saying deflate it below the level. You've read me nothing that says Tom Brady said deflated below the minimum level.
Well, they were found to be below the minimum level.
Okay, but you've read me nothing that says Tom Brady instructed it to be below the minimum level. They knew he liked a deflated ball, and if they deflated it below the minimum level, due to his preferences, it's one thing. If he said deflated,
okay. Our conclusion that it is more probable than not that McNally and Jastrzemski participated in a deliberate effort to release air from the Patriots game balls after the balls were selected by the game officials is significantly influenced by the substantial number of communication and events consistent with such a finding, and also that, yes, below the legal level, it says, and that Tom Brady also had the knowledge of this.
Tom Brady instructed them to put it below the legal level.
Yes.
No,
more probable than not. More probable than not.
Brady knew that they were doing that, but he's not standing there with a needle saying, oh, 12.1, 11.9.
Listen, man, I'm just telling you right now, this is not good for Tom Brady. This is not good, and he seems like he was mean to locker room attendants. And we know that his wife Giselle, yelled at somebody after Wes Welker dropped the pass.
Well, that has nothing to do with him, and that has nothing to do with this at all.
What I want to hear is if there's any money. You know, those $100 handshakes or those $5,000 envelopes left to these locker room attendees that didn't like Tom so much.
Yeah, if they didn't like him, why are they doing it? There's something stinks.
Because they're Patriot employees and they want to see the team win.
Well, all I know is in the Super Bowl, the balls were checked 74 times and Tommy Terrific led them down to the game-winning drive.
I think that is fair. Did you hear the text messages? You're going to love that, the attendants going back and forth. Tom sucks. I'm going to make that next ball a beeping balloon. That's what one of them had to say about Tom Brady.
That disappoints me more than anything. I always thought he was like a nice guy. That's
yeah. Well, in your dream, in your head, he is.
Apparently, what's amazing about it, October 17th, 2014, wasn't that the Thursday night game? Wasn't that the butt fumble where they beat the Jets like 35-0 or 35-3 or killed them?
Yep.
Actually, that may have been a Thanksgiving game. But maybe it was a game. I'm going to have to look that up. I wonder if they lost that game. But apparently that game, he went ballistic on these guys about the footballs.
Really?
Tom Brady complained angrily about the inflation level of the game balls.
All right, I'm not looking to deflect or anything, but can we talk about the Cavs for a second?
Hold on. There is something that needs to happen here. I want to hear from you that if this turns out to be true, that Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback of all time.
How do you know that Joe Montana's balls weren't deflated?
He was never. Listen, I don't know if they were or they weren't. Joe Montana to me seems like a man of ample ball inflation. He never lost a Super Bowl. So he's obviously got – he's good
He lost a lot more playoff games, a lot earlier in the playoffs.
Is he the greatest quarterback of all time now?
No.
How can you be the greatest quarterback of all time when this asterisk is on your record?
Listen,
it's the equivalent to Barry Bonds and steroids right now.
Yeah.
Oh, stop. Let's not get carried away. Stop.
Okay, McGuire.
Can you be the greatest of all time, though, with this on your record?
I don't like it being on his record, but, again, I need more evidence that he knew that there was –
there's 243 pages worth.
All right, well, when someone that doesn't have ADD reads all 243 pages, they can give me a summary.
You like book. This is the summary.
Well, I don't like the summary, so I'm going to look for a different summary.
All right, when we come back, we're going to keep this going. Yes, you can talk a little Cavs, kid. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilton, what do you guys think about Tom Brady? 216-578-0850. We'll talk about the Browns. Are they a better team now than they were a year ago? We got a lot to talk about. A lot of hot topics. Dane Brugler still coming up. It's a big show here. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford and the energy of Jason Gibbs.